Happy Sunday, Discovery. My name is Jesse Holcomb.
And my name is Stephanie Holcomb, and we've been attending Discovery virtually since March of this year.
And we are church planters in residence.
Yay!
Yeah, we are so happy and excited to be at Discovery. And if you're a guest today, we want to say welcome. Anytime you're visiting a new church, even virtually, it can be a little nerve-wracking.
Yes, absolutely. If you want to grab a cup of coffee, pen, paper, and your Bible, and just sit back and relax and take some notes.
Absolutely. And after the gathering, there's going to be an opportunity for an after party, which is going to be a great time to connect and maybe find where you fit into the community.
Yeah.
Along with that, we're going to have a text to prayer line where Nicole is going to be praying through your prayer requests at the end of the service. And we're just so excited that you're here with us. Any more information you can find is going to be on discochurch.com. Thank you for coming and happy Sunday.
I love that we can hear unhappy kiddos in that video. I don't love that they're unhappy, but man, is that real life when you're parents of littles, isn't it? So if I haven't gotten to meet you yet, good morning, Discovery. My name is Nicole, and I have the privilege of serving on staff here as the director of mobilization, primarily over groups and local and global missions. And this week, Pastor John and Tracy are out on vacation, and we are so glad that they can take this time to rest, to refresh, to reconnect. And it is such a good morning to be together here. This morning, you're going to get to hear from Pastor Antonio, and that always brings enthusiastic grins from the teenagers in my house. Not that they don't love you, Pastor John, but you're going to get to hear from Pastor Antonio. We're going to have an invitation for you to some things that we are gearing up for here at Discovery. You're going to get to hear a sweet, sweet story from someone who is much loved by so many of you. And I just have so much confidence that you will be encouraged and built up by being here with us this morning. That is certainly my prayer for you as you join us. So you got to meet Jesse and Stephanie earlier, and as they said, they are walking through a church planting residency with us here at Discovery. So they are learning and preparing over these next 12 months or longer to launch their own church plant here in Tacoma. And they have joined us at a very interesting time. Did you catch that? When they first joined Discovery in March? Yeah. So right now, Jesse and Stephanie are co-leading one of our pop-ups. And you may have been hearing some about our pop-ups. Pop-ups will be smaller environments that we are launching at different locations around the city so that we can gather smaller, less risky groups that we can focus outreach on specific neighborhoods. And it also makes us less dependent on some of the things that are happening within the school district. So our pop-up teams have been working so much to prepare to prayerfully be ready for the day when we could all meet in person. And many of you, like me, were so looking forward to today meeting in person at the in-person outdoor gathering that we were scheduled to have. And now I am here. So obviously that is not happening. Your leadership here at Discovery has been having so many conversations with so many of you, with many other churches in our area who are of similar size, conversations with healthcare professionals, time mapping out and planning what it looks like to gather safely. And I can tell you with so much confidence that preparations have been so thorough and your teams are so ready and eager to provide the safe environments for all of us to begin gathering in person again. However, as we have been prayerfully seeking wise counsel and watching the COVID numbers climb in our region, watching the response of the governor and of the health department, we have been really compelled that in this season, God is continuing to call us to flexibility, to waiting on Him, and at least for this moment, to continuing to meet only via live stream. I know that for some of you, thinking about that's not a surprise to you at all. That makes sense. And to you, choosing to not meet, that feels like the way to love and express solidarity with our community. And some of you may not even have been planning to meet with us in person, even if we had gathered today. I know that for others of you, thinking about not meeting in person feels unnecessary, and it may even feel like a lack of faith. And I want all of you to know that I so can understand both paradigms very, very well. They're even in my own heart. And I know that so many of us are struggling with really heavy emotions in this season as we navigate these challenges. And I just so want to encourage all of you to continue to be faithful to meeting via this live stream. Go ahead and drop a comment right now. Let us know that you're here and where you're worshiping from. It really does help to feel a little more connected just by engaging on that live stream. And I just want to say that if we had the opportunity, you and I, to sit down to coffee, which I would love, I could tell you story after story of the beautiful ways that God is so at work in hearts and lives and in our community in this season. I absolutely believe that we will come through this season having seen that God is doing beautiful new things in and through His people. Jesus has promised that He will build His church and that nothing, not even the gates of hell, can stand against it. And we have certainly seen that to be so true throughout history, and we see it true now. As we've been walking through this series that we've been in, Kryptonite, where we're walking through the book of Genesis and we're looking at the ways that God uses really ordinary, flawed people and difficult circumstances, and He builds His purposes. And the lessons of that feel so very relevant for us and for this day that we are walking through. So now, through the magic of technology, you're going to see Pastor Antonio just appear here where I am. And so I know that he can't hear you, but would you give Pastor Antonio a warm welcome anyway?
Good morning, Discovery Church. Thank you so much for being with me. My name is Antonio McLemore, and I am so excited about this message this morning. But before we go any further, can I encourage you to grab a piece of paper and something to write with? We're going to be talking about kryptonite. And I know, I'm sorry, I didn't wear my Superman shirt. I was going to wear Pastor John's, but unfortunately his muscles stretched out the shirt, so it just would look baggy on me. He's been working out recently, you know, during quarantine, he's getting bigger. I don't really know what he's doing. I think we need to test him. I don't know. The guy's just too strong. No, just playing. Just a joke, right? But we're talking about kryptonite. And if I can be honest with you, I think in transparency of this message, is that following Jesus has been the greatest, the best decision that I could ever make. But it hasn't always been the easiest. And the reason why it hasn't always been the easiest is because I realized in the 12 years that I've been following Jesus is that every time that we choose to do something for God, that we will be met with tension. And typically that tension causes us to bump our head, scrape our arms or our knees, we get banged up in following Jesus. We say things that hurt people. We get hurt, right? We experience failure in the process of moving forward with God. And so that's why I believe that this message today is about teaching us how to fail forward. Because I believe the reason why you and I get caught up in our failure becomes kryptonite is because we make our failure our resting place. We make a mistake, We offend someone. We say something that we shouldn't have said on Facebook or Instagram. We hurt our family. We hurt our friends. We make a mistake. We have a bad day. God forbid we have a bad day. And we say, you know what? We throw our hands up. God can't use me. Just to think that, well, I mean, I just had a bad day. And nobody wants to be remembered by their worst day. And that's, my friend, that is how we get caught in these kryptonite moments, is our failures become our resting place. So I'm going to go into Genesis 13. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to give you, before we go into scripture, I'm going to give you three things that I want you to write down. Because these questions will help form how you read scripture. So the first question is this. Where are you going? What are you fixated on? And where have you set up monuments that point to his promise? Let's get into scripture. Genesis 13:1, it says, so Abram left Egypt and traveled north into Negev, along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. From Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel, and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. Can we pray real quickly? Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you would use me, speak through me, use me to the very essence, to the very core that I am. I pray that people would get a clearer picture of who you are and what it is that you've called us to. Because the work of the Lord was finished on the cross when you buried our sins and our failures beneath you. But Lord, it wasn't the end of our work. That God, that you called us to the work of picking up our cross and carrying it daily. And so, Lord, I just pray that people would have, that the listeners of this morning would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here's the first thing that I want to address is, where are you going? Pastor John talked about this last week, and I think it's imperative that we kind of revisit this, that Abram received a promise from God. And the promise was not only that he would become the father of faith, who we know as Abraham, but Abram was called to go from where he was to where God was calling him to, and to his promise. So there are seasons in our life where the promises of God will call us to go from where we are, whether that be from a job, whether it be from an ideology, whether it be from a sickness, like you maybe have found yourself in a season where you've been given a diagnosis and God has called you from the state, from the place that you are, and he's calling us into a greater promise. He's calling us to go somewhere. So where are you going? The promise of God typically moves us to a space where we can't be stagnant, where we can't just say, well, you know, God's good, praise God, but we're just going to stay in this current state. We're not going to move forward. God, the presence of God calls us to people, to calls us to follow him. And I think when we're talking about following Jesus, when we're talking about doing the work of God, when we're talking about the promise, we have to be asking, where is Jesus leading us? Where is the Spirit of the living God leading us? In Genesis 1, it says that the Spirit of the living, breathing God was flowing over the formless world. And I believe the reason why that was is because the Spirit of God is always moving. He just was waiting to get direction from the Father. And I believe the same thing should be true about our life, that we should be people of movement. Not people that make our failures our resting place. So where are you going? The next thing is I want to point to is, what are you fixated on? You know, Abram made some mistakes. Abram had a kryptonite moment. Abram had a moment in his life where, you know, as we arrive to Genesis 13, we see that he has a bunch of stuff. He's acquired a bunch of stuff. But sometimes when we find ourselves in a season where we've acquired a lot of stuff, Sometimes it can be a mark or a reflection of our scars, right? Because Abraham had to go through some failures in order to obtain some of the livestock, this wealth that he had acquired. He had hurt people in the process, some of his family members, causing dysfunction, right? So Abram had a weak moment. He had a bad day. And what I love about Abram having a bad day is oftentimes when we're reading about heroes in the Bible, people that the father of faith, Abraham, that we have to be reminded that these are real people who had real issues, had real flaws. This is not a reality TV show where everything is perfect. These people had stuff. Abram had stuff that he dealt with. But what I love about Abram is Abram kept moving forward. He did not make his failures, he did not turn his failures into a resting place. And I think a lot of it had to do with what he was fixated on. Let me point you through scripture. I'm gonna pull this scripture up. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles, you can go with me. Genesis 3, I'm going to read 3:7-10. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, or we'll pull up on the screen. And it says, at that moment, their eyes were open. The Bible's talking about Adam and Eve, right? So you and I, if you've heard the biblical story, we can all arrive to the conclusion that we've heard about Adam and Eve eating the fruit and it became sin thrusted into the world. But oftentimes we don't talk about the byproduct of sin or the byproduct of their failure. And this is what we're addressing in verse 7. It says, at that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking along the garden. So they hid themselves from the Lord among the trees. And then the Lord God called out to the man and said, where are you? Verse 10, he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. I think sometimes our failures cause us not to focus on God, but the byproduct of our failures or our sins turns us to focus on ourselves. So we become so insulated, so self-seeking, self-serving, right? It's kind of like narcissistic, where we're so fixed on self that we neglect the presence and the power of God. And this is what we see in scripture. As they are aware of their nakedness, God shows up to be worshiped, right? Could you imagine the God of the universe showing up to have relationship with Adam and Eve, and they're hiding themselves from God? And not only are they hiding, but they're trying to cover themselves up before God. And I think sometimes that's where we get lost in religion, is because religion says, bring your best self so that we can only cover our worst self. But Jesus says to come as you are, with all of your flaws, all of your brokenness. And God sent Jesus, a man who knew no sin, to become our sin offering, to become the very sin so that we could be called righteous. A man who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be called righteous. God takes all of who we are, and he does it in exchange for Jesus. And that is the problem sometimes that I think where we find ourselves in these kryptonite moments, as our failures keep us from seeing Jesus. Our failures keep us from moving into the promise. And this is what we see with Adam and Eve. But what's powerful about God is when God shows up and he finds Adam and Eve after they had failed, a very, very consequential failure. But the scripture tells us in Genesis 3:21, it tells us that God shows up, and watch what God does. It says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skin for Adam and Eve. God covered them. God made a sacrifice. Think about this. God took what knew no sin to become our covering. And this is what kryptonite does. Is kryptonite says, you've made a failure. Now you have to fix it on your own, by yourself. Exclude and isolate yourself from community, from the people who love you. And you just fix your problems. And then once you fix your problems, then come to God. But no, 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 my friends. Jesus is saying, invite me into the middle of your mess and watch how I give you a message. Here's the next question that we have to ask ourselves. Is where have you set up monuments that point to his promise? You know what I believe? Abram did a phenomenal job, even in the midst of his failure, even in the midst of this kryptonite moment, is he never stopped coming to God in his nakedness. Now hear me, please. That is a metaphor. So please do not say, well, Pastor said, I get to come. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about coming to God with all of you, with all of who you are, to the very essence. Come with your depression. Come with your anxiety. Come with your addictions. Like I remember, I'll never forget this moment for me. April 5th, 2009. I struggled with addiction, to lust, pornography. There were so many different things that I was struggling with. And for so long, I had bought into the lie of religion that I had to fix myself for God, and then he would accept me. Then he would say, son, whom I'm well pleased with. But I remember in my dorm room having a conversation with God, and he says, Antonio, you are because I am. I just imagine who needs to hear that this morning, that you are not because what you've done. Not the mistakes and not even the good, but you are because of the good that Jesus Christ did for you on your behalf. That on the cross, Jesus was thinking about you. He was thinking about your family and he was thinking about those who will come after you. So can I just encourage you that we're all going to have kryptonite moments. The enemy knows our fears. He knows our failures and he will constantly bring them before us. But I believe that God is calling us to create a space in our mind, in our heart, and in our environment where we declare that we will not be known by our failures, but we will be known by our worship. And this is what Jesus talks about in John chapter 4, that those who come after him will worship in spirit and in truth. And this is the way that Jesus requires our worship, not just in our word, not just coming perfectly, not just showing up to an all worship session, but that we would worship with him with our life. And this is the sacrifice that we've been called to. So friends, can I pray for you? Father God, I thank you for those that are listening. God, I don't stand before them as an individual that has figured it out. I have not obtained perfection by my own means. I am a very, very flawed human being. Those who have gotten close to me will know that God, I failed and I continue to fail, but I never allow, just like Abram, I never allow my failures to keep me from moving towards the promise because your grace is sufficient. Lord, I'm just reminded by your word that your word says that when you declared Abram to be righteous, you made a covenant with him. And within the covenant, God, the Bible says that you literally looked to find someone you can make a covenant and you found none. So you made it with yourself. God, your promise has everything to do with it, starting with you and finishing with you. Philippians 1:6 says that for he who began a good work is faithful to finish that work into completion. So God, I just pray for those that are your children, that they would know that you started this work and you are faithful to complete it. Yes, you want to partner with us, but God, it's you that started it and it's you that finishes. Here's my next prayer. If you're at the sound of my voice and you're listening to this call, maybe a friend invited you and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. My prayer is this morning that you would be willing to come to him. Jesus tells his disciples to come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, for I will give you rest for your soul. Jesus didn't negate. He didn't tell them that they wouldn't have the work of their journey. He said, I would give you rest from trying to figure sanctification, trying to figure out righteousness, trying to make yourself right, trying to cover yourself. He said, I would give you rest for your soul, that you would know that you could walk in the righteousness of God. Lord, I just pray that for those who come to you, that they would find rest. Rest from their soul, rest from their shame, rest from their guilt, rest from their failures, and that they could move forward, that they could continue to fail forward, moving towards the promises that you've made to your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Antonio. If you prayed that prayer with him, would you let us know, maybe by dropping a message to that text to prayer line or sending us a message? This journey of following Jesus, of being people who, like Pastor Antonio so beautifully said, are known not by our failure, but by our worship. This journey is not meant to be done on our own. It is meant to be done with others who are also following Jesus. And we want to be in on this journey with you. We want to be in your corner. So let us know if you prayed that with him. So did any of you think about that question that Pastor Antonio asked? Where in your life have you set up monuments to God's promises? I loved that question. And when I thought about it, I right away thought about my chairs. I have two of them. I have one of them for inside during the winter and another one that I'm loving right now for outside during the summer. And those are places that I cannot wait to go every morning with my Bible and my journal, places where again and again I have encountered God's promises and his unimaginable faithfulness to those promises. And after all of these years, all I have to do now is look at those chairs, and they speak to me of encounters with God and his promises. So if you have somewhere in your life where you have a monument to God's promises, whether it's figurative or literal, drop that in the comments. Let us know. It would be fun to hear some of those from you guys. Yeah. So, and now we have a story and then an invitation for you. And please remember to be sending in your prayer requests to the text to prayer line, because I will be praying for you at the end of this live stream. So again, as Pastor Antonio said, and I just loved it, that we're people who are known not by our failure, but known by our worship. We here at Discovery so believe that worship is all about living a generous lifestyle that is about serving God and pressing in to his purposes. And Discovery, you are a generous and a faithful church. And I want you to get to hear right now from someone who is absolutely known by her worship, someone who is much loved by many of you. Kelly Swallison is known to many of you as our children's ministry assistant, but she fills another very special role that you may not be aware of, and we wanted for her to get to tell you about that.
Friendship Group is the small group I lead. It's made up mostly of women who have developmental disabilities. Of course, it's open to other women too. They live in the same apartment complex and are in the same independent living program. My connection is my sister is in this program. I've hosted appreciation parties for the caregivers in the past, but God placed on my heart that to share his love for these ladies. So I trusted God and he worked out the details. So before the pandemic, we'd meet weekly. Typically we'd have a Bible study and discussion, prayer time, a craft, and a snack. And after a few meetings, I realized I was walking away feeling so blessed by my time with them. Their gifts are to love God in ways we often forget to, and with such simplicity. the depth of their prayers for each other, their caregivers and families are just so pure-hearted and thoughtful. Well, at the point I knew COVID was going to stop our group from meeting, I began to talk to them about it. I told them a time was coming when we couldn't meet because it wasn't safe, but not to be worried because we could pray for each other. And right away, I felt the need to stay in touch with them. Zoom wasn't an option, so I got permission to visit my sister once a week and to drop off treats and cards to the other, to be given to the other ladies. For all those weeks, all I could do was bring cards to encourage them to lean on God and in this time and have a treat. So one day a few weeks ago when I was visiting Denise, the care manager said that half the group could meet at a time. I was so thankful. And I knew the ladies would be excited. Walking in that first meeting back and seeing those huge, excited smiles was the best. Even with only four of us, there was just nonstop chatter. We had spent 100 days praying for each other and for the time we could meet again, and here we were, well, some of us. The following week was the rest of the group, and it was equally as sweet to see each other, and the only word for it is joy. I believe our group formed at a time when God knew we would need each other and a greater connection to Him to get through this pandemic. Most of these women don't have other family nearby, and they don't have ways to get around. They are physically well cared for, but God knew that they needed more to get through this pandemic. They needed a connection, and God gave me a purpose for this time. He gave these ladies the encouragement they needed, along with a sweet treat.
I love that so much. You guys saw a number of those ladies joining us back when we were meeting in person. They would come in their wheelchairs. And what Kelly didn't tell you, because she is humble that way, is that those meetings that she held with those ladies held such a significant and impactful place within that apartment complex that it was the complex manager who came to Kelly several weeks back and began to work with Kelly to put in place the plans and the right ways that they could begin to meet again in small groups. Because the encouragement and the meaningful engagement of those groups was just so important to that whole complex and to that program. Anyway, I so wanted for you guys to get to hear from Kelly and hear about that happening, because it's such a beautiful thing that God is doing through her there. So if you, like Kelly, would like some ideas for ways that you can live out worship in really practical ways, just let us know. Drop something in the comments. Maybe just say worship. There are so many ideas for ways that we can be serving each other, ways that we can be serving our community in really practical ways right now. In fact, a few weeks from now, on August 30th, we will be having another one of our Love Tacoma Sundays, when we will be sending out very small groups so that we can comply with the ordinances right now. We'll be sending out small groups all around the city to be serving in so many different ways. So you'll want to be sure and join us for that. And now I also want for you to be able to hear an invitation that we have from Allison, and then I will be praying for all of those prayer requests that are coming in on the text to prayer line. All right, Allison.
As Jesus followers, sometimes it's hard to know exactly what we're supposed to do when there is so much discontent and division in our communities. But we believe that doing nothing is not the answer. So we are launching Be the Bridge conversation groups. And in these conversation groups, we're going to dive right into the topic of racial injustice in America, because we believe that it breaks the heart of God. And part of being a Jesus follower is bringing healing to the hurt around us. Using the Bible as a primary source, we are going to dig in. We're going to learn about repentance and lament, and then we're going to do the hard work of restoring and repairing This is the work of building bridges. Please join us on this journey towards racial reconciliation. There is a place for you here. You are welcome to the table.
Allison has been such an excellent part of our Be the Bridge lead team, and I am so grateful for her and for that entire team. And if you would like to be part of one of the Be the Bridge groups that is launching, just drop Be the Bridge in the comments here or let us know another way, and we'll be sure that we can include you. Okay, so now those prayer requests. We have a request for prayer for those of us with family in assisted living facilities who have not been able to see their loved ones. Prayer to know how best to support them. There's a prayer request here for healing of a friend's blindness and for the blindness of another friend of that person also. We have a prayer request for a peaceful pregnancy, that abundance will come, and that though this person is in a struggling position, they want to ask God to keep her faithful and to make her over and make her new and whole and full of Him. What a beautiful prayer request. Prayer for a friend wavering through an extremely tough season. Prayer for a father who was just diagnosed with his third cancer in 10 years. And we have praise for a friend who is recovering well in the hospital. I'm glad to hear that. And prayer for a friend whose swelling in her inner leg will go down and that she can get the needed testing done soon. And also for her husband, who has been such a great help to her as she has difficulty walking. Would you join me in praying for these requests? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we can come to you with the things that burden us. We're so grateful that you have paved the way so that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. We know that you are a God who loves to hear our prayers, and you move in response to them, which is a mystery that is beyond our comprehension. But we are so grateful, and it is such a privilege to come to you. Lord Jesus, I want to praise you for the recovery of a friend in the hospital. It is so sweet to hear good news, and you know how that encourages us. We pray for continued recovery for that friend. Lord Jesus, I want to lift up to you this friend who is experiencing swelling in her leg and who is in need of some testing. Lord, would you heal? Would you bring healing so that she can get that testing done? Lord, you are the master healer, the master physician. So I pray that you would be so at work. Thank you very much for the faithfulness of this husband who is caring for his wife. And would you give him such a sense of your strength and support as he carries the duties of caregiver, Lord. And I want to pray for this father who was just diagnosed with his third cancer in 10 years. Lord, again, you are the great physician. Lord, would you be with this father, with the entire family as they walk through every step of the process that is ahead of them? Would you bring healing? Would you bring excellence in every one of the encounters they have with various medical professionals? Would you give them favor with those medical professionals so that they would just really interact in a way that is very caring with this father and with this family? And Lord, would you bring your peace that passes all understanding and enable this family to see you at work in this situation. Lord, I lift up to you this friend who is wavering through an extremely tough season. And I think also of the friend who submitted this prayer request and the challenges of walking in friendship with someone who is in that tough season. I lift both of them up to you. Lord, you know all of the ins and outs of the situation, and I pray that you would interact with them in such sweet ways, enable them to see your presence in very real ways, and you would bring rest and reprieve from the toughness of whatever this situation is. Lord, I lift up to you this friend who is pregnant. I ask you for a peaceful pregnancy, and I thank you for her prayers, for abundance, that even though she is in a struggling position, that you would keep her faithful and make her new and full of you. I know you love to answer prayers like that, and I pray that you would enable her to see specific ways that that is happening even now. Lord, I lift up to you every single one within our circles who have family in assisted living facilities, who have not been able to see their loved ones. Lord, I ask you for comfort. I ask you for your sustaining strength and power on both ends, for the ones in the assisted living facility and the ones who are so anxious to see their loved ones. Lord, I ask you for your protection of those who are in those facilities, and that you would give the care workers so much love and care for those individuals in the assisted living facilities, that they could care very well for them and give those caregivers so much strength. I know so many of them are short-staffed and worn out. Would you build them up? Give wisdom to the families and creativity to know how best to support their loved ones. And Lord, I pray for the friend who is asking for healing for his blindness and for the blindness of a friend of theirs. Again, Lord, you are the great physician. You are the master healer. You are the one who can do things that are beyond our imagination and comprehension. And just the fact that this friend is submitting this prayer request is an expression of faith. And Lord, I ask you to honor that act of faith and enable this friend to see ways that you are present, that you are answering this prayer. Would you bring healing, every kind of healing? Lord, I also want to lift up to you all of the unrest and the challenges, the injustices, the pain that we're seeing and experiencing throughout our region right now in many different arenas. Lord, we ask you that your kingdom would come. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, we know, is characterized by your shalom, your peace that is full of justice and right relationships and all kinds of things being made whole. Would you bring that to pass in all of the places of brokenness and pain in our region? Lord, you are the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. We believe this. Absolutely. And so all of our trust, all of our confidence is in you. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Discovery, thank you so much for joining me today. And I just want to remind you that if you go to the worship link this week, there is such a sweet video of faces that we love from our own worship team. So take a moment to check that out and worship right along with them in your living room. You also, there's a link where you can give your financial gifts to God and worship in that way. And I just want to express to you that it is such a privilege to me to join you. I'm so encouraged to join you every Sunday. It is a joy to be on this journey, and may you so experience the presence and the pleasure of God as you head into your week. So much love.